Welcome back to another episode of Vulnerable Views, a podcast where we open up and talk about things that are important to us and topics that are less talked about in our opinion. I'm Faria.
And I'm Shelley.
And we are so excited to share our views with you.
Sometimes I just need time for myself and I just need time to be at home and just watch TV or whatever. And
who am I really, right? Like, what do I like? Like, yeah. How am I? I've always been so focused on trying to get someone to like me that I've never thought about what do I bring to the table.
I find myself like scrolling through the Austin Animal Shelter, like, Instagram account where they have all these cute puppies, and I'm like, should I adopt a dog? Like,
having a written planner, taking that second to actually write it out, gives me a second to do like a quick mental check of, do I really have the time to do this week?
Even if you're really hot and distracted by the dead animal that you're holding.
Oh wow, okay. I am doing these certain things that I used to do in past trauma. So welcome back to another episode of Vulnerable Views. We are really excited to do this episode today. It's going to be all focused on self-love, and self-love is definitely a topic that we've talked about and kind of touched on in past episodes, but I feel like we've never had a full episode totally focused on this topic, so we're really excited. And we have a really amazing guest today, Jules Weber. She is a life and intimacy and life coach, and she helps women and guides them through trusting themselves and kind of guiding them through learning more about themselves in their love and their career. And I also know Jules because she has two amazing little girls who I had the pleasure of working with at the preschool I used to work at. And then kind of through the quarantine, we realized that we actually live across the street from each other, which was very convenient. Yeah. So I actually babysat her daughters a little bit for a few months while, yeah, for a while. Yeah.
Sat them
it turned into a lot of, yeah. We were like, this will probably just be a month. And then it was like, oh, this is actually quite a few months of the preschool being closed. And yeah, so yeah, but it ended up being really good for me to have, to be able to be around people and see Jules and see her daughters and, yeah, it ended up working out really well for me, actually, to not be, like, at home alone when I didn't have a job necessarily to go into. So, yeah, I thought you would be a great guest for self-love because I feel like you talk a lot about this, obviously, on your Instagram and I'm sure with your clients, too. So I was really curious to hear, like, if you feel like you have kind of a personal definition or, like, how do you define self-love and how do you kind of work with your clients on that?
I think the phrase self-love, at least in the self-help and personal development world, has become so watered down at this point. I think most of us are like, what does that mean? It almost feels like more than something that you can really define. It's like an experience you have with yourself, you know, and we don't really ever know that we haven't experienced it until we are forced to discover the part of ourselves that's willing to choose us and have our back and honor our boundaries or whatever it is. I was actually talking with a client about this the other day. You know, there's like a – and this is – so many of my clients have these moments, but – and I did certainly myself where – you know, she wants to like make a big choice in life that, you know, feels really authentic to her and true to her. But as so many of us understand, it feels like there are obstacles in the way of, well, can I choose that? Like, how will that affect my finances and how will that affect life? And what if I fail? And it's like all these little, she wants to know, like, what is it going to be that jumps in and saves me if I fall? And I remember saying to her, well, what if it was you? Like, can you trust that you are going to have your own back if all this doesn't go well? Can you choose right here, right now to be there for you and take care of yourself and to save yourself if you need to? And it was when we don't know that we can be that for ourselves, Man, life hurts until it hurts so badly that you have to be that for you. And so I think for me, self-love was actually, you know, the idea of loving myself. I remember when somebody told me, I was just at like the rock bottom of, you know, codependent relationships having totally unraveled in my life. And you know how that feels when you just have such high attachment to somebody or a group of people or a romantic relationship, and then that attachment is broken. And it's like everything feels like chaos, and you feel sick every time you think of them, and you feel shame when you're like, did I do everything wrong? And was this all my fault? And it's just like a tailspin for a little while. And a friend of mine, you know, she said something, she was like, you know, be gentle with yourself right now. Like, she just reminded me that I hadn't actually really done anything wrong, even though I was in a situation that was really hurting. And it had never occurred to me to be gentle with myself, to be kind to myself. That was just not even like anywhere in my paradigm. It had never occurred to me to think about how I treat myself before, even. I don't think I even really acknowledged myself as a self, other than like as something I needed to work on and fix and, you know, all of the above. And so, yeah, I think that like for me, there was just the physical manifestation of not loving myself was so miserable, and it was so hard on my body, that if I didn't make a choice to love who I was, and I don't mean like, I think a lot of people think self-love means that you always like yourself. I think it's much more like choosing the relationship that you choose when you get married. Like, I'm always going to be, and not even just marriage, but intimate partnership. Like, I'll always be here for you. And that doesn't mean we're always going to like each other or want to be around each other. It means we're going to experience a whole range of emotions and allow space for all of that. And so I think self-love for me just means allowing myself to participate in the fullness of relationship with myself, and not just in like one tiny part of the emotional spectrum.
Yeah.
But all of it. And that's like, I make for a much more integrated human with way healthier relationships when I see myself that way. Oh, I have a whole complex relationship with myself. Not just a relationship of like dislike and criticism and punishment and shame, which I really was not conscious of my whole life.
Yeah.
Until my friend said that to me. Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. And I'm curious, like, how do you cultivate that? Like, how did you go from like not understanding how to love yourself and not being able to love yourself to...
Yeah, you know, practically, the very first step or the thing that I remember the most was I was standing in my kitchen one day, and I tell this story all the time because it was so powerful for me, was I was standing there, and I can't remember what it was. It was like I was wrestling with the whole like religious narrative of, you know, you're a sinner that needs to be saved, and you're not worth anything without God, and all this. And then, you know, my relationship with food was something I was looking at too. Like, do I really want to like, I just felt like I was punishing and judging myself every time I put something in my mouth. And I was doing the same thing with my motherhood and the same thing with, you know, who I was as a wife. I was married at the time. And just this constant barrage of self-critical thoughts. And I remember standing there going, what if just trying this idea on, like you would try on a shirt. And I was like, what if I'm already perfect right now? You know, like what if all this self-work stuff is an illusion and I don't really have to do any of it? And I tried it on, you know, like what if I'm enough as I am and I actually don't even need to change, and this is just fine right now. And I just sort of, you know, willed that to be true in the moment. And when I did, and I just decided I could put all of it down and stop working so hard to change, my whole body relaxed. There was like a physical shift that I could feel in the moment. It was like suddenly I was at rest. Suddenly I felt this powerful relief that I could only really compare it to feeling like lost and lonely for so long and then finding your home and you find out that your parents are there and they still love you and they've made you food and they have a warm bed and you're like, I'm here, I'm in the place that I belong. That's what it felt like. And I just thought, if this is how my body feels when I think of this, this cannot be wrong. It just can't. I'm so at ease right now. I feel so safe. I don't want to go there anymore. I just don't want to go there. And I'm not saying that at that point I put it all down and I've been good to go ever since. No, I mean, the things I chose to put down in that moment are such deeply conditioned, programmed beliefs. I still wrestle with it, but I made the conscious choice in that moment. I'm not going to live a life of picking myself apart. That's not going to be what I'm here for anymore. I need to feel enough for myself. I don't want to try so hard to control everything. I don't want to try so hard to have like a beautiful, great reputation and be well-liked and be sweet, saucy to everybody. I don't want to keep judging myself. I hate how harsh I am with myself. I just want to be done with all of it. And so practically it was like recognizing I have the freedom to create totally new beliefs if I want to about all of this like self-work shit. Can I say that?
Yeah. That's
okay. Yeah. And so really for me practically, and still what that looks like is allowing myself to lead a life that's led by my body and not so much by my head. If my body, like if I'm going to, for example, this is such a simple example. If I'm going to like sign up to do something for somebody or would I volunteer for this thing or attend something or have a conversation or a relationship, if my body doesn't feel at ease, even if I don't understand why, even if I can't name what's wrong, I'm shifting course until my body feels safe and okay. And so it's like it's been such a relationship with my physical self as much as with my idea of who I am, like, which is such an illusion anyway. My body is really the only person that I'm going to be in a relationship with for the rest of my life, for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt. So she kind of like – she's my ride or die. So practically I would say that's kind of, yeah, been the journey.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard someone say something along the lines of like, you should be your own best friend and you should be, cause like what you're saying, Jules, it's like, yeah, you really are the one person that's with you from birth until death. You know, other people in your life, you just never know what's going to happen. And so it's like, that really should be the relationship that you work the hardest at and that you're really like, you know, learning to love yourself. And yeah, I think I love all the stuff you said about like, just, you know, what if I am enough as I am? Cause I do feel like a lot of the kind of self-help or yeah, a lot of the kind of narrative around self-love sometimes can be almost like, it's either like you have to, there's things about you that you need to change or that you need to fix. Or it's like, just completely love yourself and almost like don't hold yourself accountable for anything, which I feel like there's kind of a middle ground where it's like you said, like you don't always have to like yourself. And there can be times when you're like, oh, that I made this mistake or like, I should have handled that differently. Or, you know, but underneath it all, you're still like, but I still love myself. I'm not like picking every little thing apart or like controlling everything so much, mm-hmm. like you said, but it's like you can still have moments where you don't like certain things, but then you still have moments where you're like, yeah, and it is kind of like the ideal romantic relationship too, where it's like sometimes that person might annoy you or they might do things that you're not like happy with, but you still are accepting them for who they are and you realize like they are mm-hmm. a human being. We're all, you know, working on ourselves and yeah. So I just love that concept of like, we're not perfect. Nobody can be perfect, but you can still embrace yourself and love yourself as if you don't really there's nothing inherently wrong with you that you need to change. I think that's something that like, yeah, definitely took me a long time to realize. Yeah.
Totally. And I think like accountability is an essential part of self-love. Like holding, it's like, just like you would do in a relationship, right? And the idea that you were saying, like, you know, there's a balance between, you know, being so hard on yourself and working yourself versus saying, like, oh, no, I just love myself. I don't need to change anything. I think that balance is loving accountability. Because if there is none, then your life is just self-indulgence yeah. all the time. If your inner critic is like this, like, slave master, then you're never, you don't get to feel permission to feel joy ever. And so I think what self-love and my own freedom to hold myself accountable without, because that's like accountability is like, I can take responsibility for things rather than like shaming myself for things. So if I like said, you know, I really want to like do X, Y, and Z to take care of myself right now. And I don't follow through on that. I can have loving accountability with myself as opposed to shaming myself or telling myself like, you're no good for anything because you like ate the bag of Oreos last night. Like, no, I can just go, okay, like in my accountability, it like doesn't feel super good that maybe I like didn't keep that promise to myself. But I also know that I'm like willing to look at that and understand my motivations right now and hold that, you know, hold those complex emotions. And so self-love and self-accountability allows me to like, to choose people to be a part of my life that are in that same space. 'Cause one thing I don't love is how, you know, when maybe we don't understand self-love yet, we kind of expose ourselves to a lot of like painful people and they do things to hurt us or, you know, or we even have done things to hurt other people, but we kind of sweep it all under this rug of like, oh, well, nobody's perfect. Like we're all working on it. But actually like being in relationship with people that are kind to you is totally not negotiable. Like intimate partnership, friendship, it's one of those things where you have to be kind to each other all of the time. And that needs to be the standard. And if that ever doesn't happen, then both people are okay with owning that, being aware of that, doing the repair work to fix that, to make sure that it doesn't happen again, to restore intimacy. I think for a long time I thought, oh, people can like not be kind to me now and then or a little bit every day or something. And that's fine because nobody's perfect. But no, that's not. People that are loving and accountable with themselves are not, they cannot live with not being kind to themselves or to you. Like it's just not. And so I think that was really, that really shifted a lot of like what I allowed into my life in terms of relationships. It just changed my standard.
Hi, listeners. Running out of things to do during quarantine? We wanted to tell you about this cool game called We're Not Really Strangers. This is a card game that encourages deep conversations between players, and it's one that Faria and I recently played on an Instagram Live. Whether you're getting to know someone new or you want to strengthen an existing relationship, this game is a fun way to make that happen. Check them out on Instagram at We're Not Really Strangers.
we don't have to confuse compassion for tolerance. You can be totally compassionate towards someone and even toward yourself and still have a zero tolerance policy for like not honoring your own boundaries or somebody else's. For, you know, it's like, okay, I can recognize this is not okay for me, even if I understand where you're coming from and I know why this happens. I this past weekend, I had to have a very uncomfortable conversation where I was asserting a boundary that was there because of a choice somebody made a long time ago that didn't have anything to do with me, but that because that happened, I could not feel safe in my body being around this person. And I think it was such a beautiful situation for me because, you know, I really did not have any judgment toward them. I felt such compassion. I was like, I understand why. I totally get it. And on the other side of that, like, those choices have created a present reality for us. And I'm going to choose what feels safe for me right now, no matter how uncomfortable that makes you. And because it's just, I can't tolerate any, I won't tolerate anymore exposing myself and my body to what does not feel safe on any level. It's just like not even okay. And I don't think I really felt comfortable saying that for the longest time because I thought if I really let myself have that standard of kindness in my life, I'm not going to have any more friends or family or people anywhere ever. I thought it was just normal for people to occasionally do horrible things to you and for you to make that okay. But I realized I only felt like that was okay because that was my standard of relating with myself. And actually, there's a whole big wide world of people in this world that are secure enough in themselves to be really kind all the time and then to take the humble road of apology and talking about things when it doesn't, and to not take my boundaries personally. Like, it's like, oh my God, you know, I can, but I do think that for me, at least, transitioning between those two worlds of relating, it was like there was this lonely middle. Because there was this process of kind of like pulling away from an intimacy and vulnerability and emotionally distancing myself from those connections that I realized did not feel safe, that I never knew didn't really feel safe. And I didn't know that if I didn't feel safe, it was okay to not want that anymore. And then like waiting for sort of some of those new people to emerge, like new healthy relationships. And I even like reestablished old connections with people that were really safe people, but that I was turned off by because there wasn't that wounding in the relationship. And so reconnecting with those people was really amazing. But I think that that lonely middle, somebody was asking me this the other day in my audience or a follower on Instagram. They were like, everyone says like have boundaries and, you know, don't let people treat you a certain way and all that's great. But like, what about after that? Then what do you do when the relationship changes or, you know, it's like I maybe lose connections or something. And I was like, well, that's when you deal with yourself. Like, that's when you like face the loneliness of it and you create this new strength for yourself that, you know what, this loneliness I'm facing right now that I maybe was avoiding by settling before, nothing, this is not worse than that. I'd rather be alone forever than expose myself to relationships that hurt me on any level. And it was really in that space that I found myself. I was like, oh, I'm not alone. I have me, actually. And I didn't know this, but I really like me. I'm like, kind of amazing. I kind of really don't actually want to be anybody else. And that was, to be totally honest, very surprising. I did not expect for my boundaries to take me into a place of being alone and then find out that I liked that more.
Yeah.
That was shocking to me. But that was where it's like you have to learn to not accept other people hurting you. And then that space is where you learn not to accept you hurting you.
Yeah.
And you have to have that. It's like those new organically created healthy connections. Like, it's a good thing that they don't just immediately appear, because you need that space to show yourself that you're strong enough not to just go back on your boundaries and your promises to yourself just because you don't want to be with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm strong enough to be with myself.
Yeah. I feel like I've had a lot of, I can remember like a few years ago, I had gotten out of a relationship and I kind of reconnected with this group of friends. And, for a few months it was like great. And I was like, oh, this is really fun to have this group. And they were very like kind of big partiers and we would all, you know, go out to bars together. And there was this whole thing that was like kind of distracting me from the pain of that breakup. So it like felt good at first. And then, yeah, it definitely took me a few months to realize like I didn't actually really like them that much, or at least I didn't like the way that I felt when I was with them. It didn't feel like very authentic friendships either. And I have nothing against any of them. It just was like, I was like, I felt like I was acting like a different person around them. And I was like, so I kind of just like made this decision of, I don't really think I want to spend time with these people as much, and kind of like step back from that a little bit. And it was kind of like what you were talking about, where I was like, oh, now I have a lot more alone time. And this was like a group of people that I would spend a lot of time with. And then it's like, when you kind of step back from that, suddenly I was, spending more time with myself. And yeah, it was this very surprising thing where I was like, oh, wow, I do actually, exactly what you're talking about. I do really like myself. And I realized I enjoyed alone time. And so that has kind of caused me now to have to set a lot of boundaries with friendships, where I will sometimes say like, you know, tonight, like I just really need time to myself. And like kind of setting those boundaries of if someone asks me to do something with them, I have to really think about, I do kind of do what you talk about too, Jules, with like feeling how I feel in my body and feeling like, okay, do I feel tired? Do I actually feel like I want to go out and do something with someone today? Or do I want to just stay home? And I also had that experience where I like found new friendships, or there were some friends from high school that I hadn't really stayed in contact with that much. And they kind of ended up coming back into my life, and they've been really great friends for me. And you kind of find those people that do honor those boundaries when I'm like, it's nothing against you. And it's like people that won't take things personally, kind of, where it's like, I'm not saying I don't want to spend time with you or that I don't like you. It's like, tonight I just really need time to myself, but let's plan a time for next week or something. But I do remember having that fear, even when it was something tiny like that, where I would have this fear of like, if I say no to hanging out with someone, then they're going to not want to be my friend anymore. They're going to think I'm lame because I want to stay home instead of going out, or like, yeah, all these fears around like, that I'm not good enough somehow but really it is just about setting boundaries and then it has been really, and I feel like I kind of realized that I did enjoy spending time alone right kind of in time for quarantine, which was great because I've like, obviously we were all forced to spend time. Obviously I would prefer not to spend as much time alone as we probably all had to, but it was kind of good timing for me where I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I actually am okay being alone for a certain amount of time. I also need time with people, but yeah, I definitely think boundaries is like a huge part of self-love. And it was something I definitely used to have no boundaries at all. And so it's been a work in progress for sure. But yeah.
Totally. And I think so many of us too, it's like, you know, if we had grown up knowing how to feel that safe and comfortable connection with mom and dad, we wouldn't ever, it would just be so baked into us, into our nervous system, to always have a safe landing pad to return to if anyone's ever mean to us. Like, we wouldn't feel any need to pursue connections at the cost of our own safety. And we wouldn't be, it wouldn't be like the norm for us to be mean to ourselves. But so many of us didn't have that growing up. And that's not even like anyone's fault. Like, I think we all tend to go to blame when we talk about being hurt or feeling hurt, you know? But very few of us are equipped with the emotional tools that it takes to raise, you know, and then even when you are, there's still pain and it's still hard. Because we're human beings, and that's just part of being human.
Hi guys, enjoying our podcast? Then you might enjoy another one. We wanted to recommend a podcast we've recently discovered called The Happiness Lab. This podcast is by Yale professor Dr. Lori Santos, and it dives deep into the science behind happiness and how we can use that to be happier in our own lives. We're already on episode 4 and we love it. Check it out and let us know what you think. You can reach out to us on Instagram at vulnerableviews, or you can send us an email at vulnerableviewspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm curious, because you kind of touched on how a lot of us probably didn't get certain needs met as when we were children, or mm-hmm. just how, I don't know, I just feel like childhood really obviously affects a lot of things that we grow into as adults. And so I was really curious mm-hmm. to kind of hear, like, how do you feel like your perception of self-love, or just when you had kids, like, did that kind of change your mindset as far as, like, oh, now I'm raising these girls? And like, I know that when I started working with kids, I realized, like, I kind of started doing a lot more work around inner child stuff, which I think is very fascinating. But it's been an interesting experience for me working with children and, like, seeing how, like, you know, innocent these, like, children are, and how I really do love them basically unconditionally, because I'm like, they're children. They're still trying to figure out, you know, they don't comprehend mm-hmm. a lot of things obviously that we do as adults, but I can imagine obviously when you have your own children that's like magnified so much, of course. And yeah, so I guess I'm just curious, like, how that kind of felt when you have these two daughters and you're like wanting to obviously give them all the love and support, and then you're like, oh, this is kind of like, I just remember I had this realization where I was like, the way that I treat the kids that I work with, like, should be kind of how I treat mm-hmm. myself too. Like, I'm just so loving and kind to them. Yeah. And yeah, going back to like kindness that we talked about at the beginning too, it's like, I always show children kindness. I always kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, even if they're throwing a tantrum, it's like, okay, there's something that's going on for them that's causing this. And like, but then for myself, sometimes I'm just like, oh, you shouldn't be acting that way, or you should, you know, anyway. So I just had this realization when I started working with kids of like, oh, it really taught me how, in a way, how to treat myself.
I think we do need to see ourselves through a lens of childlikeness. Like, we really never stopped being a 5-year-old on the inside. It's just in terms of what our needs are. My needs actually are no different than they were when I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
But the way that they get met is different. I'm now responsible for getting those needs met. They cannot all be met solely by me. That would be impossible. That's why we need interconnectedness and interdependence and relationships. Even though I'm 100% responsible, I really can only do about 50% of the heavy lifting by myself. And so part of life is like striking this beautiful balance of intimacy between being self-sufficient and then inviting people in, you know, into the vulnerability of just being a human. And I think kids are so good at that. They're so good at it. They don't have those same walls built up that we do. And so on the one hand, am I glad not to be nearly as naive as I used to be? Of course. On the other hand, I'm still working to restore a childlikeness to myself that I miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you, you know, when Shelley mentioned like the inner child work and you're talking about childness, I know like just, I'm personally really interested in psychology and mental health, so I like to read, but so much of who we are as people is formed by, like, those are formative years for us, right? As children, like mm-hmm. how we treat ourselves, how we treat others. And it's funny because we don't have too many memories of that, but it's such an important part of your experience. And I think because a combination of just, there's a cycle of self-love not mm-hmm. being something we are actively teaching ourselves and teaching our kids, right? Like, you have to think about that, that, like you said, a lot of people have childhoods that aren't as great, right? And parents weren't able to meet their needs, not because they were bad people or anything, but just how the world goes, and the cycle can continue unless someone breaks that, right? And then self-love in the world, you know, I think you started off the conversation by saying it's just been, you know, taken and watered down and marked by so many companies and people and things like that. And but it's still not really something that's taught to us, right? Like, as someone who works in marketing, like, you know, you need this face cream and this outfit and this new technology mm-hmm. to be worthy, to be lovable. So there's no practice of that. And that's so, I find it so sad how prevalent the lack of self-love is. And just acknowledging also the privilege, because I think three women talking about this, like, I can't even imagine how much harder it is for men, right, who are traditionally taught that they mm-hmm. can't cry and they can't express their emotions and things like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, self-love is, it seems like something we really have to work towards. Would you agree? Or
in a sense, yes. I also think that more of a working towards, it's like a remembering.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I think that this idea that it takes effort and that it's like this one track lane of just working and making progress and making effort. It's like this really like masculine oriented journey and the way that we tend to talk about it. And yes, that is an element for sure. I think there's also an element of self-love that is a like a receiving and a remembering and a relaxing and like a leaning back and just going, oh, it's okay if I don't work so hard. Right now it's like that more feminine side of things. So yeah, it's absolutely a journey. I don't think that any of us are like, I mean, to arrive in self-love is to arrive at enlightenment. And there are very few enlightened masters in the world. Yeah. You know, the Buddha, Jesus. Like, we're I don't think that we're all headed mm-hmm. there. But I do think that getting under the surface of the illusions that we are buried under, you know, one at a time, or if you're in the dark night of the soul, then it's like all of them at once for a little while. I think that process of just peeling back illusion and getting to know the part of you that existed long before you were born, long before you had a name and culture changed you and told you what it means to be a woman or that you even were a woman, when you were just energy and just a soul, that life force part of you, you know, that sometimes we call essence. I think self-love is connecting to that. And the journey is just, how much faster do I reconnect that place in myself now than I used to?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I've never thought of it. I was just, as you're saying it, I was like, what is my essence? Like, it's so hard to go back to, like, who you were before the world told you who you're supposed to be, right? Kind of.
Right. Well, and I think that so many of us are living in, really, and you can decide like how spiritual you want to get with all of this or what really resonates with you. But in one sense, there's, you know, the reality of what is tangible, like, you know, the screen that I'm looking at, my skin, you guys, this microphone that I'm talking into, the tactical things. That feels very real. But if we want to, we can invite ourselves to live from and to be anchored in something that's even more real than what I can touch with my hands. And so that part you know, the energetics of love, the what's eternal, what is it that really is me? Because is it my body? Because if I lose an arm, am I still myself? You know, there's something, it's like there's something in me that's formless and shapeless that is unknowable only because it's infinitely knowable. That's a mystery. That's a delight to discover and to learn new things about. Something that surprises me with how accepting it is in the most beautiful ways, like that moment in my kitchen. Like, I think that was just an encounter with my essence. It's just this eternally loving part of ourselves that I think if we don't have connection to it, we just think, oh, why didn't my parents love me the way they were supposed to? If I wouldn't be so fucked up if that had happened, if my childhood had been a good one. You know, it's like we put responsibility for all of that on other people when we just don't have our own connection to source, which, you know, so there's a whole, like, I don't think you can really do self-love without having some kind of a clear grid of what your own spiritual belief is about love. I think that's why religion, when you have an appropriate relationship with it, so many of those feel so refreshing and supportive for people because they get to, it gives them a framework for having a relationship with something that is infinitely bigger and more loving and unchanging than themselves. And they get to remember that a piece of that lives inside of me. And oh my gosh, how good does that feel? Like, you never, and so, but it doesn't, I'm not saying that your spiritual context needs to be a religious context, but when I talk about, you know, spirituality, I think that all I mean is the way the human, the flesh, the tangible, the tactical, integrates with the part of us that is not tactical.
Well, it has been so wonderful talking with you today, Jules. This has been so great. Thank you so, so much for joining us. Do you have anything you want to share? I know you offer some courses and you have some things going on that I know our listeners would love to hear about if you want to chat about that or just anything else you wanted to mention.
Yeah, well, you can always find me on my Instagram. That's kind of where I interact with my community the most. And I have a ton of like videos and posts and different things. People often tell me that when they find my profile, they just binge everything.
Guilty.
Which I love. It's so fun. I'll probably write a book eventually. But yeah, I have actually a course that I think is like one of the best courses in self-love that I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that because I made it, even though that's probably part of why I love it so much. But it really teaches you to take your like knowledge about self-love and turn it into an actual experience for yourself. Because I think that's kind of what so many of us are missing in the journey of like working on ourselves. And I say that with air quotes because we study so much and we learn all kinds of different concepts that we kind of like store up in our brains. But then if our nervous system doesn't learn to get the message, if our bodies don't feel safe, then we will sort of like create old patterns consistently until we really know how to create loving experiences for ourselves. So that course is sort of like based around like the 8 different like pillars to me of self-love and how to create loving experiences for yourself where you follow through on things. And yeah, I love it. So you can find that at the link in my bio. And then I also do like one-to-one coaching and I love life coaching so much. It's just my favorite thing in the world. But yeah, this is primarily the space that I work in.
That's awesome. Well, we're so glad you're doing it. I know I'm definitely going to go check out that self-love course for sure. You guys can follow Jules on her Instagram. It's jules.weber mm-hmm. and her website, julesweber.com. We'll have this on our social media handles as well as our website. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.